He's a faithful God. How many of you believe that? That he's a faithful God. Can you put those hands together for the Lord? Hallelujah. He is a faithful God. You decided to come here today, not because there's no other place to go to. Honestly. But you know what? God brought you here for a purpose. And he will accomplish everything that concerns you. God brought you here for a purpose. And he will accomplish everything that concerns you. Today, God has given me the topic that says, God on the mountain is still God in the valley. God, right there, all high up in the mountain, on the mountain, is still God right there in the valley. God in the good times is still the same God in the bad times. God, when things are moving on fine, so well, you are just enjoying life, is still God when things went the other way. It does not diminish the personality of God. He was here before we came. In fact, he made us. And he is God over all. The most important thing is to know that whether you are on the mountain or right there in the valley, the most important thing is to know who you are with or who is with you. Whoever that is with you will determine how long you will spend there. Hallelujah. Amen. And today, what we want to achieve is to make sure that everyone lives here with that God in their lives. Because he's the only friend you can ever have. There is no other friend like Jesus. There's no one like him. I gave my life to Christ when I was only 9 years old, and till now, I can tell you that God has been so good. I've had my valley experiences, and I've had my mountaintop experiences. One thing is sure, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. I remember at some point, some years back, I was invited for a birthday party. One of my friends invited me over, and she invited me to come and preach, you know, and also sing in her party. Thank you so much. She invited me to come and preach and minister in her party, and that very day, I got a very bad news. I was called and told that I lost my sister. And I was still trying to trying to understand what it was. It wasn't like she was sick or anything. She was pregnant and she was almost due to have her baby. And everyone, the family, we all expecting our grandchild. And I was called and I was told she passed on. And that very day I had this ministration. I was going to get a minister somewhere. It was very difficult because I was still trying to come to terms with the news. And then you are going to somewhere to sing and to encourage people to speak. That was very difficult for me. As I was making my way down there, because I was trying to see whether to cancel. I was contemplating whether to cancel or just, because I needed some time to really understand what happened. But the Lord said, you have to do this. And on my way there, I was going to the place, and I started asking questions. What is this? And the only answer I could get is that the God of the mountain is still the same God in the valley. The God of the good time is still the same God in the bad time. So, wow. And I know there are people here who have gone through such things, who've had one bereavement or the other. You only understand what I'm saying if you've had the experience. It's not something you wish even your enemy. But God has been there. He strengthened the family. He brought us all together and we mourn together to His glory. In life, there will always be mountain experience and valley experience. They are not the same kind of experience, but for a Christian, the common denominator is God. And that's why if you are not a Christian, you can be one today. You can be one today. I'm not talking about church. Christianity is not church. It's not church. Christianity is the life of Christ in you. That is what Christianity is. And that is the hope of glory. So the Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Something more than silver. Something more than whatever you can talk about. Whatever you can see. Whatever you can experience. That is what we're talking about. The life of Christ in you. Remember the disciples who were first called Christians where? At Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because they were living the life of Christ. And then people that saw them were like, wow, these people must be Christians. As in people that have been with Christ because they live the same life as Christ lived. And that's what we are called to live as Christians. So Christianity is not coming to church. You can come to church all you want and still you are not a Christian. But my prayer is that God will touch our hearts and make us the people that He has called us to be. The time is short. You don't need to be a prophet. A prophet has to know that. That the times we are living in, they are short. And He's coming back again. There was a promise that He was going to be born. He was born. And there was a promise, a prophecy that He was going to die. And He died for us, for our sins. And there's a prophecy saying that He's going to come back again. He will come back again. If the first one was fulfilled, the second one was fulfilled. Who told you that the third one won't be fulfilled? Those are the things we need to put in our mind. That God will help us not to play church, but to be Christians and to live like Him. So the common denominator there is God. If you're a Christian, no matter what it is, no matter the situation, just hold onto His unchanging hands. And He will never let you go. He won't. He's a dependable God. God is always with you in any of those experiences. Your attitude while you are in either one of the experiences will determine how long or how short the experience will last. Your attitude in any of these experiences, whether valley or mountain, will determine how long you will be there. For example, Paul and Silas, remember? They were imprisoned. Was it because they did anything wrong? No. Because they were preaching and propagating the gospel of Jesus. They were doing what we are doing today. But they didn't want to hear that. Like the world we are living in today. They don't want to hear about Christ anymore. You can say any other thing other than Christ. Those are part of the end of the day, end of the time that Christ is coming again. That's what He told us will happen. So we are not confused. But we'll continue to speak it until He comes. They were locked down there in the prison. They were locked in the prison and they couldn't do anything. They had the right to complain. They had the right because Christ, God, we are doing this for you. How come we are in the prison? Well, that's the kind of bread and butter Christianity we have today. Christianity of confidence. Comfort. Take away comfort, you backslide. That's not what we are called to do. These were men who understood who their God. The men that know their God. Said, those that know their God shall stand firm and they shall do what? They shall do exploit. They understood that. Apostle Peter wanted to crucify Him. He said, no. You can't crucify Me like My master. Because I'm not even worthy to unbuckle His sandals. Please, can you crucify Me upside down? He wasn't trying to negotiate whether He should be freed. He wasn't interested in that. He was asking, please crucify me upside down because I'm not even worthy to be crucified the same way my master was crucified. Those were men with conviction. Christians. Polycarp was burnt alive because of Christ. Stephen, as they were stoning him, I said he looked up and he was seeing the hands that was invincible. And he was telling God, please do not lay this charge against them. He was following his master. His master said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Christians, we are the light of the world. They need to hear us. But when you hide, you know what? The devil will take over. And that's what's happening in our society today. They've taken over everywhere, in the parliament, wherever you go to. Raising up laws that are completely against the law and the moral of God that this nation was founded on. The wonderful moral laws that has kept this nation, that has made this nation what it is today, they are relegating to the background. But the righteous will stand firm. We need to speak. Paul and Silas, they chose to praise God, and the prison gate opened by fire, by force. The prison gate had to open because of their attitude. Imagine if they sat there down there and they were complaining, oh, we are doing all this for God, and how come we are here? That prison gate will remain locked. The fact that they will get more padlocks to lock it more. But glory be to God, they had the right attitude and they used it. Like we did here today, we praised God and we will continue to praise Him. And things will begin to happen in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? Hallelujah. Valley experience could be a very torturous and trying moment. A state of hopelessness. When it seems like God doesn't answer our prayers anymore. Where your questions about life are met with quiet response from heaven. You're praying. You're asking God, why am I here? And it's like nothing is happening. He's not responding. He's not answering. I know there are people like that. You've been through things. You know what you've been through. You know those cries at night, wetting and soaking your bed in tears. Some of them you can't even explain. There's no one to talk to. You feel no one will understand you. And you're actually right. But you know what? God will. He will. He will. It is a place of betrayal and misunderstanding. It could be a place of learning through chastisement. A place of learning through chastisement. Because those who God loves, what does He do to them? He chastises. It's only a wicked father that doesn't chastise his child. Spare the rod, you spoil the child straight. Those are Bible principles. They are very important. It's a place of chastisement. It's a place of discipline. So many of us wouldn't be where we are today if not for our valley experiences. Who can bear testimony, a witness with that? Yeah, it's true. It's true. There are times that God allows things to happen, not because He's trying to punish you or anything. No, but He wants you to learn from it. But sometimes we want to jump out from that valley experience. But you know the problem, once you jump out there, what God meant for you to learn, you will miss it. And you know what will happen? You will find yourself there again. May it not be our portion in Jesus' name. Valley experience could be a place of sickness and bereavement. As I mentioned, it doesn't matter what it is today. God said he's going to heal someone here today. He will. He said he will heal someone here today. I don't know who the person is. But he said he will heal someone here. Hallelujah. You've lost someone, God Almighty will comfort you. He will comfort you. Inasmuch as we all want to stay on the mountain, enjoying all the good things that life has to offer, there will always be bad times. There will always be bad times. Because we're in this life, there will always be bad times. But our prayer is that while we are in it, may God be with us. Because he's the only strength we have. He said he will not give us what we won't be able to bear. But whatever that comes our way, he will be there to support us. Hallelujah. The good thing about it is that God will always have our back. I would like us to read Isaiah 43, 2 to 4, please. Promises, please. Verses 2 to 4, please.
I read. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
When you pass through the what? Which means he's saying we will pass through waters. That's exactly what it is. We will pass through what? Waters. But when you pass through the waters, what happens?
And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.
When you pass through the rivers, they won't drown you. Hallelujah. Continue.
When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned.
Which means there will be fire to walk through. You know? But what's the promise there?
The flame
we will not be burnt. Mm-hmm. Carry on.
The flame will not set you ablaze.
Hallelujah.
For I am the Lord your God.
Who said that? Just in case you don't know, he's telling you, I am
the Lord.
The Lord. I said it. And you know what? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So it's time for you to believe what the word says. You will pass through the waters. You will pass through the fires. But God Almighty will be there with you. Hallelujah. Please, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18.
Yeah, 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Hallelujah. Who was speaking there? Very good. Apostle Paul was speaking. And who was Paul? Please, I like interactive. I interact when I preach. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. who was Paul? How many of you know what Paul passed through? Can you please name them? Shipwreck?
Yeah,
snake bite?
Yeah.
Imprisonment? Denial of rights? Oh my God. That man passed through hell. He passed through hell. And this is what he said. He said, our momentary and light. He called this light. Light. Feather light. Feather weight. Our light, momentary and light affliction. Yes. Is what?
Achieving for us an eternal glory.
He's achieving for us an eternal glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That no matter what it is you are going through now, there will be an expiry date to it. It's going to end one day. Hallelujah. It will not continue. And for some of you, it's ending today. Because God has said it, and we believe it, and it is settled. Settled for life. Hallelujah. The reasons for valley experience. Number one, to give God the glory. One of the reasons why we find ourselves from time to time in the valley is to do what? To give God the glory. Can we read John 9, please? In that regard, let's leave John 9, 1 to 12, please.
John 9, 1 to 12.
Yes, please.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him."
It happened so that what will happen? The works of God might be displayed in him. That is a testimony. It happened so that this man will have a testimony to share. So something is going to happen in your life today because you are going to come out here to give testimony. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that? You believe that something definite will happen in your life today and you're going to come out here to share testimony because God is God. He will do that. Continue.
"As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can walk. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Hallelujah.
"After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mold with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. "So the man went and washed and came home seeing."
Hallelujah. Yes, the disciples asked Christ, "Who sinned? Did this man sin or his parents?" Because some people believe things don't just happen. Something caused it. Something must have caused it. Maybe he sinned. But Christ said, no, it's not about sin. He didn't sin. You know? But it's just so that the work of God will be made manifest in his life. What you are going through today could be because the work of God is about to be made manifest in your life. Your valley experience today could be because the work of God is about to be made manifest. Don't be in a haste to rush out from it, from your valley experience. Just stay there. Hang on there. As long as you know you are there with God, he will not allow it to break you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. It will rather make you and make you the person he has called you to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you read the verses 30 and 34 of the same chapter, please?
Verse 30. "The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes."
The people, the Pharisees, they were asking him, how come you were born blind? How come you suddenly started seeing? Who asked you to start seeing? And who gave you that sight? What is their problem? Instead of rejoicing and thanking God that someone who was born blind is now seeing, they were asking him a question, how come you see now? There are people in your life that will question the miracle of God in your life. But you know what? You don't need such people around you. Hallelujah. You don't need such people around you. Because God will bypass whatever he needs to bypass to bless you. And no man will ever stop it. For whoever that God has blessed, no man can curse. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Continue.
"He knew that God does not listen to sinners. Mm. He listened to the godly person who does his will."
Who was preaching there?
The blind.
The man himself started preaching. Amen. Continue.
"Nobody had ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. Mm. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything." Mm. To this they reply, you were stripped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out.
Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. But the most important thing is that the name of the Lord was glorified on account of his life. Hallelujah. The second one says, to repent and turn away from sin. Please, can you read John 5 for us there? John 5 from 1. To repent and turn away from sin.
John 5.
One of the reasons for our valley experiences. Amen. Continue.
From verse 1.
Yep, please.
Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festival. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which is Aramaic. It's called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been...
He's been sick for 38 years. 38 years. Someone has been sick for 38 years. That's a very horrible one. You know, can you imagine someone in the valley for 38 years? Continue.
When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in the condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Just hold on a minute. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool.
Did he answer the question? What was the question?
Do you want to get well?
So if you were him, what will you answer?
Yes.
I pray you answer yes today.
Amen.
Amen. But he started lecturing Jesus. You know, Jesus, you probably don't understand how we do it here. You know, this water, they say, spirit comes and stirs this particular water. And once, whenever the water is stirred, and whoever that jumps into the water first becomes healed. And that was what happened in that case. So he started telling Jesus what happens there. But little did he know that the person that was talking to him was the master of the ocean.
Amen.
The ancient of days.
Amen.
The lily of the valley.
Amen.
The bright and the morning star.
The
rose of Sharon.
Amen.
The one who was and is to come.
Amen.
The ancient of... You know, he was the one talking. He was asking him a question. Simple question. Do you want to be healed? Continue.
So when the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk.
Hallelujah.
At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and worked.
Continue.
The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. And he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk.
At this stage, did he know who Jesus was? Because he said the man, right? Because if he knew who Jesus was, he would have called Jesus or someone, yeah? But he said, the man who made me well said what? That I should carry my mat and go, yeah? Continue.
So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, and something worse may happen to you.
What did that suggest to you? Stop sinning, or else something else will do what? Worse will happen to you. What does that suggest?
Sin is the reason for
sin. Sin is the reason for his what? Condition. Praise the Lord. And that's why he's saying that some of these valley experiences helps us to repent and turn away from sin. That's the only thing God is asking you. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged within the flood and they lose all their guilt to sin. It doesn't matter what it is. God is here to forgive. He is here to restore. For he said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we confess and forsake our sins, he said he's faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he's here to do today. It doesn't matter what it is. God is here to tell you, go free. Because I'm there. Hallelujah. And the final one says, to test your integrity. To test your integrity. So God allows certain things just to test our integrity. Can we read Job 1, please?
Job 1?
Yes, please. From verse 1.
From verse 1. Just 1 minute. Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright.
He was what? Blameless and upright. Oh my God. Imagine God. God was the one saying, not men. Praise the Lord. Because men could say you are blameless and yet you are not, you know. But God was the one giving this verdict. That this man was what? Blameless and upright. Oh my God. How many of you desire such verdict from God? Oh my. God, please. Make me who you have called me to be. That this man standing here one day will stand blameless and upright. It's our prayer and our desire. And you know what? He will do it. Amen. Continue.
He feared God and shunned evil.
Another one. He did what? He feared God and he shunned evil. Continue.
He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep and 300 camels, 500 yokes of ox and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of fasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom.
So the man who loved his children, you know, he normally comes out at night to make sacrifices to God, just in case my children sin. God, please forgive them. That's the kind of thing we need to really learn from Job to pray for our children, amen. Because the devil is on rampage and is attacking our children. You see a lot of things happening in the world we're living in today. You will literally know that our children need to be prayed for. They've succeeded to take away moral instruction from our schools and the schools where they learn the ways of God. They've succeeded to take that in taking that out. And we are left with nothing. So you can imagine children growing without knowing God. Children growing without, with nothing, no morality, you know. And the government, they are propagating and coming up with a lot of laws that are still destroying them more instead of building them up, you know, teaching them what is not necessary and banning what they should teach them. This is the devil fighting. And my prayer is that God Almighty will be glorified in this land. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. They need to hear the truth. They need to know it. They need to walk in it. Take away God in any system. It will collapse. It will only take a time. It will take some time. It will collapse. Take away God. Because you cannot do without God. God is our all in all. And I believe and I know that he will come through in this land. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Continue.
One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil."
Did Job know that these things were happening? No. These were things that were happening in the spirit. Mm. Amen? Mm. They were happening in the spirit, and Job was just by himself, nice man, and just doing his own thing. And God started looking for trouble. Amen. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God, leave Job alone, please. You understand? But God decided to look for trouble that day. Have you considered my servant Job? That there is no one. That was where Job's trouble started from. Praise the Lord. Continue reading.
Now, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hand, so that his flocks and herds were spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Then everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The ox were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who had escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who had escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, and when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house, it collapsed on them and they died. And I am the only one who had escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell on the ground and worshipped and said,
"Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Continue.
"Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised."
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This was a man who passed through things, calamities upon calamities. And if you read in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of those foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive evil? That in all this, did Job not sin with his lips?" Said he has received a lot of goods from the Lord. Will he not receive evil? His integrity there was at stake, but he passed the test. And if you read further down, because of our time, you will see how God Almighty applauded him. Because God knew Job. And the question today, does he know who you are? Can God depend on you? Can God say, "I know my servant. I know my daughter. I know my son.